Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Corey Kid Smith, and you're listening to True Warrior Football Podcast. And with me this week, I have a great friend, a great coach, somebody that's been great to so many people in our program and just and outside the community as well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show for the very first time. Former Warren Central defensive line coach, Coach Emil Echior, who we all know and love as just simply Coach E. Coach E, welcome to the show, man.
Kid, thank you for having me. It's great being here.
Man, I'm glad to have you on. I know we sat and talked and watched the boys basketball game together with my father the other night. That was a great night. Wish it would have went the other way for us, but it was as good. You know, we always sit and talk and converse about the old days. I'm glad I was able to reach out to you this week and see if you were available. And now here you are on the show for the first time, man. So great. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me, kid. This is awesome. I love what you're doing. But, of course, you've always done this at Warren. So
I've done a lot of great things. And I think I said on the very first episode of the show, I think I'm meant to do this better than anybody else. And, like, I feel like this is my true calling, really. Like, this doing this, talking about Warren football, talking about sports in general is what I'm really great at doing.
Yeah, and I remember years back, way back in 2005, you were doing this, and it was obvious you had a passion for it. Your mm-hmm. energy level was always high.
Whew.
And you were able to affect so many other people by what you did. So
yeah, I remember,
great to see you doing it still.
Yeah, those days I had a lot of people looking forward to the Friday announcements with Coach Wright and I, and those were great times. And you know, I look back on that with fond memories, and I look back on the time you and I spent together with fond memories. Man, I always remember you, Coach E, when you came to the program. I think your first year in the program was 2004, the same year as mine. And I was like, man, this dude is huge, man. This big old, like, 6'5", 6'6" guy coming around here coaching our defensive line. And this is the middle of the summer, June and July. And we're outside, and you're just in this full-on, like, velour Jordan jumpsuit, man. Like, it's 90 degrees out here. You are out here that's bundled up. You didn't have it, like, up there, like, to your neck. Like, how did you do that? I never understood how you were able to do that, man.
The thing about when you get older, or when you are not as active as what you were as an athlete,
mm-hmm.
you find various ways to stay in shape. So I figured if I was going to be out there coaching, might as well get a sweat in and get some cardio. So
really?
Huh. That was my way of staying in shape while I wasn't playing or exercising. Being on the field and coaching was an uh-huh. exercise for me. So,
now, when you came to Warren, had that been the first time you had coached high school athletics before?
Yeah, so I look back at the Warren experience in 2004 and always think back at how blessed I was to come here. I just got done playing football, just retired from the Raiders, and moved to Indianapolis with my wife, and was trying to, you know, still young, had a lot of football in me.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to find a way to still get the football in me out of me. I remember visiting with Coach Wright. Didn't know about Warren, didn't know anything about the school or the history. Sending my resume to him, and he called me and asked me to come in and visit. We sat down and talked. He asked me if he really wanted me to come on board and join the staff. Didn't know what to expect. I just knew that I wanted to coach football. I wanted to be around young people. But looking back at it, it was one of the best experiences of my life, you know, coming here, with a group of guys we had on the staff, the group of kids we had a chance to coach.
Absolutely, man.
And also just getting a chance to get a first-hand experience on what the high school experience can look like when you have the right adults around.
Well, and I know for ladies and gentlemen, for those that do not know, Coach E here is from natively from Nigeria. Now, when did you come over to America and start playing sports and like that?
So I came to the U.S. when I was 14. I left my family.
Okay.
Came to stay with a family in Daytona Beach, Florida.
All right.
Had never played football, played soccer growing up. And I remember in high school, my junior year in high school, a group of friends asked me to come out for football for spring practice.
Now, how big were you back then?
I was probably about 6'3", about 180.
Oh, my God. Lanky.
Lanky kids. Never played. So I remember going out for football, and I was terrible. I just had never played before. So that summer, I spent the whole summer with one of my coaches in high school just practicing and working hard at it. End up starting that fall. And then my senior year, ended up getting recruited and then going to University of Central Florida. That was my only offer. So I went to University of Central Florida. As a matter of fact, I was able to get an offer from the University of Central Florida because one of my best friends was getting recruited.
Mm-hmm.
And they just so happened to see me.
At the same time, they came to see him. All right. So you ended up UCF, the Knights, which is crazy to see how this
Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights. To see where the program's going now is really incredible. But continue on with your story there, Coach.
So going to UCF was also an awesome experience. I played with Dante Culpepper and those guys. And
did you really?
Yes. I say he played with me. So, but Pep, if you're listening, you played with me. No, but it was awesome. Great group of guys, great friends, great memories. But then end up leaving Central Florida and going to Tampa Bay as a free agent with Tony Dungy. Another great experience of my life. I ended up put in 6 years in the NFL, up and down years, had a lot of injuries, a lot of ups and downs. And when I got down playing, I was really very bitter about football.
Really?
Just because I didn't think I had the career I was supposed to have, I wanted to have. And didn't realize all the things I had learned from being in the NFL till after. Once I came to Warren and started mm-hmm. working with the kids here and coaching, and then I'm getting into my professional career, it was just obvious that I had so many things, so many lessons, so much I was exposed to in the NFL that I use every day today.
Well, it's very rare that a person can go from never playing high school football or never playing football and then all of a sudden pick it up as a junior and then that person works their way into the professional levels. That's an incredible journey in of itself, really.
So, and you know what you just said, that premise of never playing and working and earning, is really what kind of drives me today in everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I remember coming from Nigeria, looking and saying, "Man, I can't wait to get to the U.S." I mean, the excitement level. Thinking of all the opportunities here in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Coming here, being around some really great coaches and people in high school that helped me grow. Today and along the way, once I got done and retired, I have the belief that in this country especially, boom.
All right, we are back after some technical difficulties. I can't remember where we left off, Coachy, man.
No, I was just saying how, you know, what truly amazed me once I came here in 2004 was to see how many young people didn't have the excitement for life as a whole, didn't see all the opportunities.
After?
Yeah, and just didn't come to school every day excited about the opportunities that are available for them. I didn't even know. So seeing that, once I retired from playing was really shocking. I said, when you play in the NFL, a lot of times you're in a cocoon and you're pretty much focused on your job and production and everything that comes with being an NFL player. And then once you get out to what we call the real world,
yeah,
you start saying things like, wow, you know. So I pretty much from 2004 till today, I think, I pretty much operate on the premise that, you know, we need to create an environment where folks feel like there's an opportunity, that I'm one class away, I'm one workout away from making it, I'm one connection away, you know. That optimism is what I think the entire country is about, that, you know, you can make it if you are, if you do your part.
Absolutely. You can definitely make it. You gotta put your head down, focus on what's important, put horse blinders on, and just, you know, dig down deep and just go for it. And if that's what your passion is, that's what your goal is, keep striving, keep working towards it. Like,
exactly.
Like, I want, like, my goal with this show is to be one of the best sports podcasts in the city, if not the state, hopefully the country one day. If I want that, I gotta keep pounding at it. Gotta keep working hard at it. I gotta keep putting in the time, gotta put in the work, gotta keep getting great guests like yourself. You know, it's something that's not gonna happen overnight. As much as I would love that to happen, I gotta work on it.
Exactly. But we also have to make sure we are able to articulate that to young people. So able to show them the path. So it's one thing to say, hey, you can make it, but then how do I make it?
Yeah.
You know, we met a young lady this morning who leaves the school 4 days a week and goes to work at Walgreens and is going to graduate and get a job at Walgreens and make $16, $17 an hour.
And that's just a stepping stone towards where she really wants to go in the medical field.
Exactly. So she has taken advantage of the opportunities this building has to offer. And the question in education in our community as a whole is, how do we make sure all young people see that? They get on the bus every morning excited about opportunities because they feel like they're going into a building full of opportunities.
Have you, in your time around, because I know you travel a lot from high school to high school in areas, have you seen a high school that is similar to us that offers the same type of academics and after-school work programs like we do?
No, I mean, Warren is a truly unique place. I tell everybody I know that works here when I see them, and I love coming back here because when you walk into the building, you feel like you're in a space of opportunity.
Absolutely.
If you're a young person or one of the 3,000-plus students that go to high school here, you should not feel like there are no opportunities for you. If it's sports, if it's work-based learning, if it's you name it, and it exists in this building. So that's truly what the high school experience is about. It's about creating opportunities for young people to find themselves. And it's not about adults trying to get young people to be like them, you know. So that's the one thing I love coming in here. When I walk into the building here, I think Warren has done a really good job of creating an environment that has opportunities for young people, and really done a good job of getting some of the right adults around to help promote that environment and engage young people. So when I come in here, sitting here, walking in the building and seeing all the resources in this building, you know, it always amazes me that this is a high school, you know?
Yeah, it is transformation, the growth of the school since the time when I was a freshman to now is just incredible. Now I think back on it, that's been 15. Well, I was a freshman in 2002, so that's been 17 years now, just about. So it's just a real crazy timeline. But I am so glad to see our school being able to take the opportunities that it has for itself and put students in great positions to succeed, because I've had students that come through this program that didn't really know what they were going to do, come into the radio or TV broadcasting, and boom, they're radio and TV broadcasters themselves now. They're in front of TVs, they're behind executive producing stuff, or they go on to do something else great in a field that they didn't even know was possible for them.
And you're right. So this, when I speak of adults, let me give I got to give a shout out to Coach Clayton.
Absolutely.
I remember Marcus, when I came to Warren, Marcus was a teacher. And I remember him working hard to get his administrative license. And to see what he's done here, to see the fact that last year, for example, you had a football team go undefeated, a basketball team go undefeated, a girls' basketball team win state championship, wrestling team perform, track team perform. And for urban school district,
that's unheard of.
That's really unheard of. And I really, really respect the work Marcus has done. I think Marcus is probably one of the better or the best athletic directors in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And low key, he's hiding out on the east side.
Man.
And I tell him that all the time, that he is the most low key person I know.
He is definitely a hidden gem. He's put in, like you said, his transformation from where I first met him as my teacher, as a social studies teacher, to now being the athletic director. Everything that's happened to him in that span has just been absolutely incredible. He worked hard. He, once again, he had a goal for himself. He moved toward it, and he put himself in the right position to reach those goals and do the best thing as possible for him.
Exactly. And like I said, I really, really respect the work he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I like you said, I travel a lot. I see a lot of different things around the country. And I know an environment like this, especially in athletics, especially with the number of kids you have participating in the success and the kids that go on to perform and pursue their dreams, that's a really, really special environment because that affects the entire culture of your building.
Absolutely.
So really respect what Marcus has done. And not just Marcus. I think Marcus has hired some really, really wonderful people,
mm-hmm.
been able to recruit and get Jason West over here, be able to get Chris as a basketball coach. And,
yes.
The wrestling coach is stealing from Perry Meridian. It takes leadership and it takes someone with a vision to be able to get folks like that to come join the ship. So, like I said, I truly love what Marcus has done. I love what Rich, Mr. Shepler, has done here as well as principal and
yes.
as a leader. So really, it's a unique environment here. And I think sometimes I think we all take it for granted and just say Dub C and all the mm-hmm. wonderful things that's mm-hmm. happened here. But just coming back here today and seeing some of the young people in the building and talking to them and saying that things are awesome here, that people really have opportunities to succeed here.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, of course, this is True Warrior Football Coach, and we've talked about I like doing things differently from episode to episode. Y'all don't want to have everything be, so monotonous and bland. So we got the part of what you do now and your job out the way. Now, Coach, in 2004, all right,
mm-hmm.
that team, I always have guys talk to me about, man, that nobody ever talks about us as a great team. That 2004 team was really, really special. How were you able to really mold those guys, the Willie Cobbs, the Keith Jones, and some of the other great defensive linemen that we had on that team? How were you able to really work those guys to get them to be as special as possible for you to be a first-time position coach and really coach, period?
I remember I took that year very, very personal because I remember mm-hmm. when I came in and sitting in our first coaching meeting, keep in mind, this was my first year coaching in the state of Indiana. I remember Kevin Wright, Coach Wright, saying, you know what, we are not as good as we were in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're able to keep plugging away and be ready to play our best football in October, we'll be okay. I remember sitting in that meeting like, what the heck? In Florida, everybody doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So seeing that everybody makes the playoffs in Indiana.
I'm sure that was a weird thing for you.
But the conversation was the defensive line was going to be a weak position. Nobody had ever started on the line. Everybody was a JV player the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole summer leading up to the fall, it was about establishing the confidence in those guys that they could go out and get the job done. They had all been JV players. What I saw in them was a group of kids who were hungry but not very confident.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew coming in, a big part of what we had to do was establish the confidence in them. We didn't have depth. We had probably five guys. We played four.
Yeah. And those guys got a lot of snaps.
I remember this, and it's funny how much you remember from that year. In the fall, our fall scrimmage, Keith Jones, Willie Cobb, Charles Knott, and Greg
Mitchell.
Mitchell. those guys played, I think, 90-something snaps in the scrimmage in the summer.
That's insane.
Those guys didn't come out of the scrimmage. But what I appreciate about that group was the toughness. We had one guy that was over 250 pounds. That's Keith Jones.
Keith Jones, yeah. And he was a little bit over over 250. But, shout out to Keith Jones, man.
Yes, but those guys, I truly, and I talked to Charles and seen Greg quite a bit, and they talk about how hard that year was for them. But they're reflecting that year till today to get over tough times. Mm-hmm. But just a tough group of East Side kids, you know.
Man, you pushed those guys so hard, man. You and really what you taught those guys, and eventually when you brought on Coach Clark, and when he came on into the program in 2006 and really you mentored him, I see a lot of stuff that you did those first couple of years still being done now with his players and like the bags and everything that he does, man. Like you really started something over here, Coach.
Well, kid, I think there was a lot happening here. I just came was plug and play, right?
Well,
but the one thing I love about football is this: is you could do things in football, and you could teach things in football. It's so hard to teach outside of football. To be able to get a kid or player to give more of themselves than they ever thought they could give, and bring that out, and to do that consistently. I think that was the key for me, was to get these young guys that have worked before. They knew how to work, but they didn't understand how much more they can give, how selfless they could be and be about the team, and think more of themselves as far as what they could do with football and after football. I think that was the biggest thing, was with football, trying to, and the group of kids we coach here and we had here at Warren, was trying to establish a basic work ethic. And once you do that, you can do anything in life. If you can work,
true.
Then the chances are you may not be a make millions, but you could be successful because you have the basic work ethic you need. So football you could teach that with football. And I think at Warren, because of the success of the school, you had buy-in. Kids wanted to be a part of it.
Kids definitely want to be a part of it. And that's lead segue to another group, because like I said, you coach here from the 04, 05, and 06 seasons, or for the 04 and 05 and 06 seasons. We really had a group of kids your last year in 06 really buy in. And when I look back on that team, and especially that defense as a whole, I still consider them probably the, without a doubt, the most dominant defense to ever come through the state of Indiana.
I mean, that 06 group was unbelievable.
Yes, and your front line right there.
But those kids had also prepared.
Yes.
And were ready.
They bought in. They waited their time. Some of them got to play. Not a lot of them got to play sometimes, but those guys were ready when their number was called, and man, whew.
But I say this, I tell Coach Clayton this all the time, is my 3 years at Warren, I never lost to Carmel.
Yes.
Never lost to Ben Davis.
Correct.
Lost two games. Lost to Lawrence North and Santa Grove.
Yes.
In 2004, we lost to Santa Grove in overtime with J.V. Paxson.
Mm-hmm.
And them shifting to spread to empty, and our guys acting like they had never seen that before.
But we had, but at that time, that game, it was a crazy game, and we had, I remember I was charting plays. We had did 80 plus plays at that point.
Yes.
In the game. That's a lot of plays for people that don't know. The Super Bowl, they didn't play 80 snaps. Neither team had 80 snaps.
Well, we lost senior night at Santa Grove in front of an electric crowd in 2004, but we still came back and won the state championship.
Correct.
In 2005, we lost to
my senior night. Yes.
Basically, Darren Evans didn't play in that game. Mm-hmm.
He didn't play. He wasn't even in the state. He was out of town for a funeral.
But what people don't know about that game is probably the most, well, one of the top performances in Warren history,
yes,
happened that night.
By a guy that was a linebacker playing running back.
And rushed for 250-something yards.
Healed.
In a game. But what he remembered the most, I think, was the fumble he had in that game. But those amazing stories and memories about high school football and, and the fact that we can sit down and remember plays in a game so many years ago.
I try to forget my senior night losing that one, Coach. But you are correct. It is crazy you brought up, because there was – people were always talking when this past Warren team won, because they went undefeated, and there was a poll put online, you know, what is the greatest Warren Central team of all time. They had the 18 team, they had the 2006 team, and the 84 and 85 teams with Jeff George and Coach Massey and Jason Whitlock, those guys on there. And I was like, man, what about the 2005 team? But I was like, you know what, we lost one game. So I was like, you know what, I'll leave my team out of it. I'll just say this: the 2005 Warren Central State Championship team that went 14-1 is the greatest one-loss team in not just school history, state history. There's no other team that lost a game that would beat that team.
That team was amazing. With Dex and with Dex Taylor and Darren on that team,
and Jeremy and Hatchett and Jamie Arnold, and oh my God, I can
team,
go on.
But I will say this. That Warren team from this past year.
That Warren, yes.
I remember watching this team play on a Friday night on TV, and I was blown away.
You remember who it was against?
It was a national.
Oh, against Trinity.
Yes. Watching that game and watching those guys and the speed and the way the team executed on offense.
Oh, absolutely.
Was unbelievable. I think. The only difference I say from the 2006 team or 2005 team was maybe defensively might have been a little bit better. Not saying better players or anything like that. They just performed better that year. Offensively, this past year, the Warren team from this past year was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Explosive. Jason has done an unbelievable job. But Jason also has had, I would say, one of his teams at LC might be one of the greatest teams in Indiana history.
Yeah, that 2012 team was really good. The team he won it with, the 2010 team that shocked us and beat us, that had Trey Roberson, was really good as well.
And the Ben Davis team from 2 years ago was also
the 2017 one. Yeah, they were really good. They were really good as well. The thing I feel like with them, where they were so heavy offensively driven. Defensively, I didn't feel like they were that good defensively. They just, you know, you guys got to stop our offense and score enough points. So we're just going to hold you guys a couple of times, get a couple of turnovers when needed. But they weren't nearly as dominant of a defense as definitely my senior year or the 2016.
Agreed. Yes, you're right. But just like I said, just looking – being able to have this conversations and looking at the last 15 years of football here in the state of Indiana, the number of great players.
Absolutely.
Awesome coaches. And just the overall, what I look at, what I see is the experience young people had going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Those environments, those games, those seasons leave a lasting impression on people lifetime. I mean, you could be 40 and be having a tough day and think about a high school 2006 game against North Central.
Yeah.
And how heated that game was, and we playing in the mud, and Coach Chad Spann is doing wonders on us.
And we talked about that last weekend, had him on the show, and how he talked about how he outrushed Darren Evans in that game, but Darren Evans had more touchdowns. So that was – I mean, that game right there – that first one, I never really felt like coming into that, because we just beat our rival in Ben Davis 76-7 the week before at home. And so generally, all right, man, we're going to go in here. This is North Central we're thinking about. I'm sure a lot of players, they knew that North Central was good, but me, I'm thinking, okay, they look good on film, but they're not going to look good against us.
I will tell you a story about that game.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. This is what the show's for. We're telling stories, man.
Coach, so we're battling with North Central and back and forth. Close game going to halftime. And offensively, we just can't do anything. So right before half, they run back a punt or a kick of, I don't remember. I remember Coach Clayton and I stood next to each other, right? So Coach Clayton is losing his mind, right? He is on the sideline losing his mind on the special teams coach and everybody because it was a close game.
Mm-hmm.
They run the kickoff back to like the 2-yard line. They end up scoring. They take the lead on us. We win that game, right?
Yeah.
But we come back to practice that week, and if you ask those players, that might have been the hardest week of practice for them.
Yeah.
It was a rough week, but then we played North Central again.
Yeah.
Then they had another rough week of practice preparing for that second game.
Well, I told Coach Spann this last week as well, that I, of all the games I've been around as a coach when I was a coach here at Warren, I've never seen a staff prepare for a game as hard as we prepare for that North Central, that second North Central game. Because it was there at their place again, but we knew what we experienced the first time, and we did not want to have another game like that again with them.
And you're right. And when you look back at the staff we had,
great staff, you know, staff.
I don't think any high school in the state would be able to assemble a group of guys like we had in that staff from 2004 all the way to 2006. Just a really awesome group of men. That professional in their approach, mm-hmm. Cared about kids, and
worked well together as well, man.
Exactly, and everybody wanted their position group to be the best in the world.
Yes,
not just the best in the state, the best in the world. It was so competitive,
and a lot of them, man, that offensive line group back then in that time, whoo,
yes, sir,
whoo, that linebacking core group, man, our safety secondaries, man, running backs. That goes without saying. That's like. You look back at what we had, it really was something special. And then, and it's really crazy because there have been schools that come through the state of Indiana that have won 4 or 5 championships in a row now to join us, but they don't have that same air of, like, nobody thinks of them as being nearly as dominant and special as that Warren group of years that we had. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. I think Kevin did a wonderful job of establishing the culture that needed to be established to make sure success happened.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the relationship with the young people, the ability to get the right coaches into the building to not only be great coaches but also be great teachers and great mentors for kids in the building.
Yes,
being able to establish an off-season development program that was really the best in high school at that time. The excitement of different things, the Warren TV, and just the overall excitement for being a part of a program. That's for parents, kids, coaches' families, students.
Mm-hmm.
Really wonderful job of creating that environment and then seeing that environment continue to exist till today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As a testament to, like I said, to Rich, to Marcus, those guys who understand the importance to the district as a whole. And those things don't really exist in a lot of places. So I tell Marcus all the time when we talk is, you know, really make sure people understand how special this time is and what you guys have created there at Warren. Because when you go to other places, you don't see the buy-in across the board,
mm-hmm.
From the community, from the kids, from the staff, from the coaches, from the leadership, you know, as far as what you need to do to make sure kids have a great experience.
A part of me thinks there are programs, administrations that want to have this, but I think a lot of times, I think today's kid, and I hate saying this sometimes, I think today's kid, they either don't want it or they don't think it's possible for them, or they don't want to put in the work to actually accomplish what is necessary to be done. Like, I feel like this year's Ben Davis team was so much better than being 3-7, 4-6, wherever the record end up being. Like, I just cannot imagine a team being so great one year and then the drop off being so so significant the next, regardless of how many seniors that you guys lost. I know you guys lost some great talent at quarterback and all over the place, but like, this is still a great powerhouse program. Hey, you guys know when these guys are gone, it's your time to step up and compete. Like, I feel like that shouldn't be done. I hope this upcoming season, I'm asking guys right now, hey, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And they're like, man, yeah, I can't wait to go to the cafeteria and get me something to eat, man. I ain't ate since last night. No. No, silly. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about, are you hungry to go out there and compete? Are you hungry to go out there and win something for yourself, for your own, for you to create your own legacy around here in the program? That's why I'm challenging our players to.
I think what happened to Ben Davis, like I said, most of the time in high schools especially, kids want to do well. Very few kids don't want to do good things. Most kids want to do good things.
Okay.
But you have to have the adults. Special people do special things.
Absolutely.
Jason West is a special coach.
Correct.
There's no ifs, buts about it. If Jason was to leave Warren today, even if Marcus got another special coach, there will be an adjustment made. Because
yeah.
Relationship with kids, you know, the whole nine. So I think what happened to Ben Davis, Coach Kirshner was a special coach.
Mm-hmm.
Him leaving, the adjustment they had to make with new coaches, new coaching staff coming in the building, new culture, all those things, is a shock to young people for the most part. You're talking about 14, 15, 16-year-olds. So here, you know, to have the success Warren has had, across the board, there have been a lot of special adults.
Yes.
It takes those kind of people to do special things. It just doesn't happen. So I think sometimes we think, well, Warren is Warren. You got 100 players. You got 200 players on the team, and you could get Joe Schmo to show up and coach his team, and they'll win. Look at all this talent.
I wish that were the case.
But it doesn't happen like that. So I think fortunately for the district, and like I said, that's why I give Marcus so much credit, is he went out and found a special person to come in here, mm-hmm. and lead the program. And the consistency shows. I mean, since Jason's been here, they've been successful. And it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
Yeah.
But like I said, Ben Davis will be back. They're going to figure it out over there and do well. Center Grove is Center Grove. They're going to be older this year and be better. Carmel is Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really competitive. There are lots of good coaches and lots of programs are doing everything. Lots of programs are lifting after school. Lots of programs have weightlifting class. Lots of programs do everything. It's almost similar.
A lot of people have definitely seen the blueprint that was laid over here from those times and duplicated it to add their own success, which, I mean, it's at sports. A lot of times sports is a copycat league.
Exactly. And if an environment existed that the principal doesn't get along with the athletic director,
it's not going to be good.
Or the athletic director doesn't trust his coach or lets his coach. Or his coach can't get the right teachers and adults into the building to support what they're doing. If all those things don't exist, success is hard.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. So
yeah.
All the right things exist to promote success.
Now, before I let you go, Coachy, I got two other things I want to talk to you about, and I would be a bad host if I did ask you what it was like. Okay. Before we're going to go back one more time to your first year here. What was it like for you working with Coach Tutsi for the first time?
Oh, love Steve. Steve was awesome. Steve is another example of a special person.
Mm-hmm.
Learned so much from Steve. A lot of things I do today and did along the way, I learned from just watching Steve, his relationship with people, his relationship with kids, his passion for kids and football, the understanding of who he is. I mean, Steve is Steve. He knows.
Yes.
His gift, and I think his gift is truly relationships. His gift is truly empowering other people and supporting other people. So Steve has been the same guy from when I met him in 2004 till when I talked to him on the phone today. There's a clear passion for what he does. He understands who he is, and truly love and appreciate the Tutsi family and Steve showing up in my life at some point.
Well, I always love when his son Michael and your son Little E were running around practice together, playing football, and just wrestling all over the place. It wasn't until later that I understood that Michael was like a year ahead of E, but E was so much bigger than Michael or stuff like that. And this is my last question I wanted to talk to you. What has it been for you as a father of a high level top recruit like your son was, and how did you really adjust to that?
I played football, was recruited, went on to play in the NFL, and football is a tough career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot that comes with it that most people don't understand, the pressures, the expectations, the sacrifices you have to make to be successful in it. Watching my son go through it, I tried to make sure I never put pressure on him as far as football was concerned.
Okay.
I always made sure he understood that football in high school or Cathedral or now Alabama is the same football as it was on a Saturday or Sunday morning at Dad's Club at Riverside.
Okay.
It's balling. Balling is balling, you know.
True.
Don't make it more than what it is. It's not life or death. You still got to go out there and ball. Plus, you got to love it. One thing I always said to my son is, if you want to play it, make sure you love it. If not, don't do it. Do something else. If you love it, and loving it, it doesn't mean you say you love it. Love is the work you put into it to be the best.
Were you nervous and worried for him to go away? Because now he's playing for Nick Saban in Alabama, Crimson Tide. Were you worried about him going so far away from home for the first time really like that? Or did you feel like he was really prepared enough to make it that first?
We probably visited 15 different schools along mm-hmm. the way in his recruiting process.
I was so happy when he committed to my Wolverines, but man,
yeah, I was happy too. Michigan, great business school, great environment. Yeah. But one thing I always looked at was this, is as a father, is I didn't care if my son went to Ball State on a full ride or Indiana State.
Mm-hmm.
For me as a dad, I was just happy I didn't have to pay for college. So I never looked at it to say, we want bigger schools to offer you or anything else. It was always the excitement that you were getting the opportunity to go through this. And that's the kind of the way I always looked at it with him was, look, I'm just excited that you're going through this. I'm rolling with you. Whatever you want to do, let's go do it. But never putting pressure on him to look at football for more than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted him to play the game with the key word being play. So going to Alabama and him committing to Alabama, I was excited. I love Nick Saban. I think he's one of the greatest leaders of all time. To be able to go into a program with high expectations, strong routines, be around the best, play for probably the greatest coach of all time, I think there's no lose in that situation. I tell my son today, the only non-negotiable we have in our house is he's going to graduate in 3.5 years.
Wow. 3.5?
Yes, because pretty much the path from summer school all the way through is you should be walking out of there with a degree in 3.5 years.
Wow.
So to me, I tell him all the time, that's the non-negotiable. Football is football. So much goes into it. All you can do is really put in the work, focus yourself, and it's going to play out the way it should play out.
And you turn, I mean, just seeing, like I said, just seeing M.E. and this at practice and having so much fun and having him turn into an All-State player, a Mr. Football Position Award winner, and being right there as one of, like, the role players on a team that competed for a national championship is just so incredible, man.
But it shows, as I look back at it, it shows how much exposure means. Really didn't think anything of him being around a Warren, seeing all of these guys, seeing guys make mistakes. I mm-hmm. remember he used to be, we're driving home and he'll ask me, I won't call in the player's name, is Dad, why did so-and-so do that? And I was like, oh, he's a knucklehead. But he got a chance to see kids like Jeremy Finch, Willie Cobb, Darren Evans.
Jeff Boyd, Trey Jackson.
I mean, just a lot of great situations he was around, from games he had worn to weightlifting, early morning weightlifting sessions. But I never knew that he was coming around and along the way was dreaming that he will be doing the same things. I never really thought that. I just thought, hey, look, that's my son. We're just rolling. We're hanging.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until later that he said, Dad, you know, I always dreamt of Darren Evans and Mr. Football and Dexter Taylor and J.O. and being those guys and having those accolades and playing in those games and being leaders like those guys, leading the warm-ups, things like that. And I say, you know, that's why I love football so much, is those things, and those things young men get a chance to learn are so hard to teach. As a dad, there's no way I teach that at home, you know. But quick story, I remember Emil's freshman year, we were playing HSC.
Okay.
HSC had a kid, a defensive end, that was being recruited. I think he ended up going to Nebraska or something like that. And he was giving Lil E the business the first quarter. I mean,
really?
He was a freshman. The kid was a senior. And, I mean, he was beating him on inside moves and just the business. But guess what? You can't quit, right? You got to keep figuring it out and fighting. But by the fourth quarter, E was working the guy. I mean, downfield, blocking downfield.
Was he playing center at this time?
He was playing guard.
Guard, okay.
Yeah.
Right guard or left guard?
Left guard.
Okay.
So just watching that and watching him figure it out, keep fighting, don't quit.
And this is freshman
year,
Cathedral.
And Cathedral.
I mean, Cathedral was playing some big boy football back then.
We actually, that year, his freshman year, I remember.
Were they 5A?
They were 5A. I remember his freshman year, they played Warren. And I remember the night before that game, he couldn't even sleep.
I believe it.
Because basically it was him playing Warren, the school that he just loved and grew up picturing himself playing at Warren. I mean, that was one thing he always talked about. He wanted to be a Warrior. He wanted to win championships here because that's what he grew up seeing. So I remember playing that game and going into that game. He didn't sleep. He was nervous before the game, but he ended up having a pretty good game as a freshman against Warren. So.
Man, I wish he would have brought him over here, man, so I could see him in that black and gold. Woo! I know he would have knocked some heads off over here behind some guys.
I told Coach West he had to secure the bag.
Oh, you a trip, Coach D, man. Secure the bag.
Secure the bag.
Bubble it, baby.
I told him and Coach Clayton they got plenty of it. Get the Adidas loop. No, we would have loved to be here. It would have been awesome for him. But Cathedral was great.
No. Your son, I mean, he's just been an outstanding student. You and your wife, Nikki, you guys have done a great job raising your son to be just an outstanding man. And I know whatever he does after football, in life, he'll be successful because he has two great parents to look to see that the blueprint. Once again, though, I thank you, Coach, for coming on the show. It's been great talking with you, man. Anytime I can be around you, Coach, and talk with you and just laugh and joke like we've been doing for years and years and years, man, it's always and always a great time. So thank you.
Kid, it's awesome seeing you do what you do. I know you have a passion for it. You've done it for years. And it's awesome seeing you back here, Warren. I know you had a brief hiatus and did a couple of different things, but I think there's no doubt you belong here. And
It's been fun to do this show and really be back around the football team there like I was this year, because that passion that I had lost for high school sports and Warren football a little bit as well was rekindled. And man, I'm having the time of my life doing this show right now, man. Having the time of my life.
I can see it. That's awesome. But before I go, I'll say it. They call him D.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end it right there. I'll be right back with one more.
True Warrior Football Podcast is sponsored by
Warrior Aid, made painstakingly by us, the Warriors. It will make you a winner.
You'll be beating Ben Davis in no time. You might even win a state championship or two. It's good, my brothers. Drink it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was an outstanding interview with Coach E, man. I love that guy to death, man. I just love being able to talk to him. Like I said, I ran into him last week at the L.C. Warren Central sectional championship game. He, my father, and I, his wife, we all sat together and all talked throughout the game. It was just, it's great to just be around him and just talk to him about old days and stuff that he's doing right now. So I just want to thank him so much for being a guest on the show and coming and sitting down with me. I always appreciate that. One thing I failed to mention was for three seasons, Coach E was the head coach of Tech. And let me, if people don't know, Indianapolis Tech or Indianapolis Arsenal Technical School is their full name. Is an IPS school here in the city, campus environment, kind of like a mini college that the city has always had here. It's one of the older high schools in the city, and it's not really had the greatest of football history. But for 3 years, Coach E was the head coach of the program, and really those were, in up until that point, some of the best Arsenal technical football teams I had ever seen. He coached them to a winning record all 3 years he was at the helm. In 2011, they went 5-5. And really, this was the first time I had to look it up because I thought I had heard this before, but I could not remember if it was true or not. So I looked it up. This was the first time Tech had beaten a team in the playoffs that wasn't an IPS team that season. It was the first time they had done that since 1994, so almost 15, 16 years at that time. And they beat LN, Lawrence North, 34-24 in that game. So, and that was a year where they had lost to LN previously in that season. So that was the opening game. Then we went on and faced them at their place, and that was a great game for us, not too much for them. But, you know, it's all right. All right, that program was still on the rise. The next year, 2012, they went 6-4. They had another opening round victory against Perry Meridian where they won 30-27. And then the next year, they go 5-5 and win a great game against Franklin Central, 28-14. That year, they went toe-to-toe with Carmel, ended up losing a close one, 6-2. But this is a Carmel team that would end up going to state. So, Coach E, like I said, Coach E knows his stuff. He's a great coach, a great leader of men. So many people that have come through the program, especially on the defensive line, love Coach E to death. I cannot speak highly of him any more than I already have. So, if for you guys that know him, I know you guys love the interview and talk that we had, and I hope people out there that do not know about him, you know, looking things he's doing. He's doing a lot of great things with youth league football all across the city. So be on the lookout for everything that Coach E is out there doing as well. Now, let me give you guys a brief update on our guys who've been playing in the AAF. Both teams were successful and victorious this past week. Adrian Robinson had a catch, and his Memphis Express were able to get off the schneid, I should say, and win their very first football game of the season. And they will look to continue that this week as well. Nick Temple had another great game. Andrew McDonald played well as well, and their San Antonio Commanders got back on the winning side of things as well, and they had a close game. I think it was 16-11 was their final score. So hats off to both those guys, and keep pushing on forward, guys. I know you guys got a lot of great things going forward here. I'm still trying to make moves to make it down to the game to see San Antonio face Memphis so I could be there to see all of our guys playing the game against each other. That would be great. And one last thing of note, folks, keep praying for Coach Willen. He's, you know, doctors are still working on him. They're still trying to get him back to full health. The staff at community health hospitals here in the city have been excellent and been giving him the best care possible, the best care possible, and that's all I can ask for. They are working with him, and he's fighting strong. And for everybody that knows Coach Willen, we know he's going to give it his all, each and every time he's around. So, Coach Willen, we're praying for you. We love you out there. Keep strong. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Corey Kitt Smith, and you are listening to another great episode of True Warrior Football Podcast. Warrior Band, take us away.